We have 6th District Congressman Andy Barr with us. Andy, good morning.
Good morning, Jack. How you doing?
Fine. You were in good company yesterday. Now you're hanging out with me, man. That's a questionable decision, in my opinion.
Upgrade,
Jack. There you go.
I got to be with you today, so that's good.
I know you were with the Vice President yesterday. Tell me how that went.
No, it was, in all seriousness, it was such an honor and privilege to be with the Vice President of the United States, a man for whom I have great admiration and respect. He is he's truly a good guy. For being the second most powerful man on the planet, he's a humble, down-to-earth, principled person, someone who cares about people. And that was on display in our hometown of Lexington yesterday, where he listened to many of our constituents and took in their feedback.
Here's a text that came into Lee yesterday. We can kind of see these texts going back for a few days, and I thought I'd start with this. It says, Lee, don't you find embarrassing the fact that Vice President of the United States of America comes to Lexington, and the only place we find is for him to speak is a rental company property? My guess is that was very calculated and on purpose, and just can you give us any of the background on that?
Yeah, I can. You know, the reason why the president came to town was to listen to small business owners and Americans who have had a hard time with the Obamacare law. And Bryant's Rental, really, if you think about it, is the embodiment of who we are as a country. This is a third generation small business, small employer. Terry Bryant and his wife are the second generation. Their son is now kind of moving into a position of responsibility there. But, you know, small businesses and family-owned businesses are really what this country is about. Mm-hmm. And so this president this vice president is not a pretentious guy. I mean, he believes in the backbone of our country, which is of these family-owned businesses, and that's why we went to Bryant's Rental right there on Red Mile Road. And not only did he listen to Terry Bryant and that family, but we had several small business owners around the table, families, small business owners, workers who shared their struggles with the Obamacare law. And as I said, in welcoming Vice President Pence, who, as you know, is a loyal Hoosier, I was proud to have him visit the Big Blue Nation.
Well, now the heat is on, obviously, because Vice President Pence has said yesterday that we will have this thing done, talking about health care in terms of repealed and or reformed by the end of the summer. The president has put the heat on Senator McConnell to get her done. What's going to happen?
Well, as the vice president said yesterday, we're going to get it done, and we're going to get it done because the American people need and deserve relief. Obamacare is a failing law. It is a law of broken promises. We have rising health care costs. We have reduced choices. We have rationing of care. We have higher taxes and mandates. And look at what Obamacare has done in Kentucky. The media narrative is that Obamacare worked in Kentucky. But here's the reality. In Kentucky, Kentuckians have seen a 75% increase in premiums since 2013. Half of all of counties in Kentucky have just one health insurance choice left in 2017. And Humana, which is the hometown health insurance company headquartered in Louisville, that's the largest health insurance company in Kentucky. They announced that they're pulling out of the individual market next year. So Obamacare is a failure in Kentucky, and we need to provide relief. But behind these statistics, Jack, were these stories. And the vice president came to listen to these Kentuckians yesterday about particular examples of how Obamacare has disrupted their lives, how it's hurt them, how it's driven up costs, how it's taken away choices. And, one gentleman was talking about how for the workers that work for his small business, it used to be that they could attract workers based on the benefit packages that they put together, and they wanted to be a family-oriented business, and that's how they attracted good people and retained good people. And it changed. Obamacare changed the relationship between the employer and the employee to an adversarial relationship, and they're no longer able to provide the quality of benefits that they used to be able to provide. Another entrepreneur who wanted to build more hotels said that Obamacare was preventing him from purchasing and building more hotels. Another fourth-generation small business owner from Fleming County, a family-owned farm supply company, has 49 employees. They're doing really well, and they want to grow. But he said, we can't hire more people because of the employer mandate in Obamacare. So not only are premiums going up, not only are choices going away, but Obamacare is a huge drag on the local Kentucky economy, preventing hiring and hurting employees at these small businesses.
Let's go to the phones. Jim, thanks for holding.
Andy, I don't mean to go off the subject, but I got to ask you. Since the Democrats have no bench, they have Nancy Pelosi, the Indian lady who's white, and Chuck Schumer. Do you think Trump's son's going to be in trouble? And Obama let this lady come in however many years ago initially. And I'll hang up and listen, brother.
Yeah, you got to address that because it's all over the media. There's a frenzy on this junior story. So what do you think real quickly, and then we'll go to a break?
Yeah, so, I mean, I haven't looked a whole lot at this. I've read the email that everybody seems to be upset about. First of all, let me just say, I have confidence in my colleagues who are on the committees of jurisdiction who are looking at that. They're obviously, I think, it's reasonable to expect that they should have questions, that they should get to the bottom of it. One thing we know, and what's disturbing about the email, just frankly, and I'm saying this as an ally of the president, is that Russia continues to demonstrate a willingness to interfere in American elections. But what I would also say is that's not unusual. That's something that we've known for a long time. Russia has attempted to interfere with our elections every 4 years, every 2 years. This is and it's interesting that some people all of a sudden have an epiphany that Russia is an adversary to the United States. I think the larger question is, why did this happen under the previous administration's watch with impunity? The reason why Russia was able to infiltrate our democracy was because the previous administration had a weak policy on Russia. And if you actually look at the policies of the current administration, and UN Ambassador Nikki Haley and I spoke about this recently, we are taking a harder line on Russia today than we were during the Obama administration. Just look at what we're requiring of our NATO allies, increased defenses. Do you think Moscow likes that? Certainly not. Look at what we're doing in terms of enhancing sanctions for the debacle in Ukraine. The previous administration, when Russia annexed Crimea, did absolutely nothing. This president exercised force in Syria to push back against Russia's ally Bashar al-Assad when he gassed his own people. The previous administration set a red line and erased it. That's not a policy of containing Russia. So I think the policies of supporting our allies in the Baltic and Eastern Europe, the policies of rebuilding our military, the policies of bolstering NATO, the policies of redeploying missile defense and modernizing our nuclear arsenal, those are not pro-Russia policies. Those are policies to contain and push back against Russia. And I think the media is missing that larger narrative.
Sixth District Congressman Andy Barr is with us. Let's go to the phones. Al, thank you for being very, very patient with us this morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I appreciate it. One thing I wanted to say is that the seminar that was conducted at the rental place yesterday, it's kind of laughable because there's been 8 years running that the health care bill has been just up in the air with the Republicans. And Senator Barr, there's been a lot of folks that lost their seats because of Obamacare, and your party is going to be facing the same thing. When you have your debate with Reginald Thomas, health care is going to be the typical and top question that's going to be asked. If you don't have the right answers now, it's going to be tough for you to have the answers then. If you're relying on an administration and your brothers in the Congress that has an R in parentheses behind their name, that if you don't have it right and correct, that it could possibly cost you a seat. It did with the Democrats. So when you ask the question about health care, you're going to have to talk about the money. There's a committee out there that said it hasn't worked, that the numbers don't fit. 20 million people are going to lose health care coverage. So certainly this debate rages on as it has since 2010, and you guys have got to get it right. If not, you, some of your fellow Republicans are going to lose their seats.
All right.
Appreciate you taking my call.
Okay, thanks, Al. I'm going to let you listen to the response off the air. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. You're right. I mean, we have to get this right. We don't have any other choice, and unfortunately, we haven't gotten health care right in this country. And it's not about a Republican or Democrat issue. It's about it. Health care is a very personal issue. Every one of us, whether we're Republicans or Democrats, we face health care crises in our lives, whether it's ourselves or our loved ones or families. And it really should not be a political issue or a partisan issue. And I'll just tell you, yesterday, you know, it was great to have the vice president show his humanity yesterday in talking to families that had faced hardship because of this broken health care law. There was a young woman, Lynn, who has a Down syndrome son, who pleaded with the vice president to fix this broken health care law because Medicaid is discriminated under Obamacare. The Obamacare law discriminates against families with special needs kids because what it does is it reimburses the expansion population, able-bodied, work-capable people above the poverty line at a rate higher than people who are in the traditional Medicaid population. And, you know, individuals with disabilities, those are the people that we need to target with our safety net generosity. That's what Medicaid was designed for. And under Obamacare, we steal from people who are in the traditional Medicaid population and destabilize Medicaid for the traditional population and instead reallocate scarce resources to able-bodied, work-capable adults. And that's wrong. What we need to do is we need to give governors flexibility to focus our safety net generosity on those truly vulnerable populations, customize Medicaid to those folks, and then help people who are middle income but above the poverty line, who can't afford health insurance, people with pre-existing conditions, get health care that actually is meaningful. You know, the one thing the gentleman rightly pointed out, that we want more coverage, but he's mischaracterizing the studies and the CBO score about what is actually going to happen under our bill. If you actually read the CBO study, it's not that 20 million people are going to lose coverage. It's that Obamacare policies are so substandard, they have high deductibles, they're unusable insurance, that people without government coercion are going to elect, voluntarily choose, to not pay for these Obamacare plans. We heard from countless people yesterday in Lexington, Kentucky, the Vice President, myself, and Congressman Guthrie, that sure, they have coverage, but what good is coverage when you have an $8,000 deductible and you're paying several thousand dollars for a family for premiums? You're not getting meaningful coverage. And if you've got a pre-existing condition and you've got coverage, well, that's great if you have nominal coverage, but coverage is not the same thing as access to health care. Medicaid under-reimburses the cost of care. So many physicians, especially specialists, they don't participate in Medicaid. So the cruel irony of Obamacare is that if you actually have a pre-existing condition and you get coverage for the first time, when you actually go to the doctor seeking care, what many physicians are telling me is that they don't participate, and so you don't have access to the doctors who can actually take care of that pre-existing condition that you have. So what the gentleman says is right. We need people to have coverage, but we want them, when they have coverage, to get the care that they need to take care of those pre-existing conditions.
Congressman Andy Barr, we thank you, sir, for being with us.